That extra shuttle mission now has a launch date. Pinnacle pilots have a tentative contract agreement. And a new aviation headset also works with your phone or computer. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 25th, 2011. The Space Shuttle program has baselined the STS-135 mission, setting a target launch date of June 28th. This is that extra mission that was added to the shuttle program last year by Congress. NASA intends to fly the mission with Atlantis, carrying the Raffaello multipurpose logistics module to deliver supplies, logistics, and spare parts to the International Space Station. The mission will also fly a system to investigate the potential for robotically refueling existing spacecraft and return a failed ammonia pump module to help NASA improve pump designs for future systems. The dates for all the remaining shuttle flights are a little iffy. Until the congressional extension of the program, the shuttle fleet was supposed to retire by the end of fiscal 2010 last September. Now, NASA is still trying to get Discovery off the ground on mission STS-133, the second to the last mission on the old manifest. Leaders representing almost 3,000 pilots flying under the Pinnacle Airlines banner have endorsed a tentative agreement that would unite pilots from three airlines under a single contract, paving the way for the smooth integration of one of the world's largest regional carriers. The master executive councils from Pinnacle, Mesaba Airlines, and Colgan Air unanimously approved a joint collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated in only 102 days. ALPA pilots from the three carriers will now vote on whether to ratify the five-year agreement. Pinnacle purchased Colgan in early 2006 and has stated it plans to phase out the Colgan name, make Pinnacle an all-jet airline, and Mesaba an all-turboprop operation serving passengers of Delta, United Continental, and U.S. Airways. If the agreement is ratified, the next step in merging the three groups would be to create a joint seniority list. The pilot merger committees have begun working on that list with a target for completion of May 1st. A Utah company has developed what it calls a breakthrough in aviation headset technology. AirGyro has introduced the Mach 5 headset, which utilizes Bluetooth technology to eliminate the cords. The company says that's a first for aviation headsets. The Mach 5 uses a small, custom-built transceiver that plugs directly into the audio and microphone ports of the aircraft. The headset features a removable directional boom mic, active noise canceling, and oversized ear cups for passive noise canceling. The headset is based on the highly rated noise canceling headset from Audio-Technica and has a range of up to 30 feet. It's also compatible with mobile phones, allowing the user to make and receive hands-free calls. It will also work with your computer for Google Voice or Skype. AutoGyro is offering a special introductory price of $599, that's $100 below normal list, for early adopters at least through the end of this month. The entire stock the company took to the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring sold out on the first day of that show. Up next on ANN, Dart Helicopter Services will distribute a new cargo pod for the R-44. The FAA is proposing new classy airspace in Maui. And the FAA wants to fine a service company for skipping employee drug tests. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 25th. I'm Paul Plack. One of the challenges with small helicopters is that there just isn't a lot of room when there's a need to carry some luggage or gear. Dart Helicopter Services has completed an exclusive distribution agreement with Aviatech Technical Services of Quebec for global distribution of the latter's Ample Pod luggage carrier for the Robinson R-44 Raven and Raven 2. Each Aviatech luggage pod has 15 cubic feet of storage space and can carry up to 150 pounds of luggage or equipment. That's about right for two golf bags and accessories. The pod kit weighs 35 pounds and is available in white or, at additional cost, colors that match R44 finishes. The luggage carrier is certified in Canada, and STCs are pending in the U.S. and Europe. The system is configured for either right or left sides and can be installed on one or both skids. Initial installation takes 2 hours, and DART says the pods can easily be removed or reattached. The FAA has published a notice of proposed rulemaking to establish Class E airspace to accommodate new standard instrument approach procedures at Kahului Airport in Hawaii. The FAA says the action would enhance the safety and management of aircraft operations on the island of Maui. Since this is a routine matter that will only affect air traffic procedures and air navigation, it is certified this proposed rule would not have a significant economic impact on a substantial number of small entities. Comments are due on or before March 7th. The FAA is proposing a $170,000 civil penalty against Pemco World Air Services of Dothan, Alabama, for allegedly failing to administer pre-employment drug tests for two individuals that the company hired for safety-sensitive positions. The FAA also cited Pemco for failing to carry out required follow-up drug or alcohol testing on 8 individuals reinstated after completing return-to-duty training during 2008. In all, the company is accused of failing to carry out 24 required follow-up tests. Pemco World has 30 days to respond. Still ahead, a rare Fairchild 45 may finally get restored. A second MiG-29 is now flying in private hands. And another day, another two more deals with China. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Paul Plack. A nearly 9-year legal battle over a Freedom of Information Act request, which went all the way to the Supreme Court, has finally apparently been resolved, with the result being the possible restoration of a rare Fairchild 45 aircraft. According to the Antique Aircraft Association's website, the request was filed in 2002 by Association Executive Director Brent Taylor for drawings and data associated with a 1930s-era four-place tail dragger. But the FAA denied the request, saying he had to obtain permission to copy the plans from the original owner of the original type certificate. That company, Fairchild Aircraft, has long since gone to its reward, and there is no record of the certificate ever being transferred to any other entity, according to an article written by attorney Michael Pangia for the association. The courts found in favor of Mr. Taylor. The association says on its blog that it hopes that the decision will lead to easier access to such technical data on antique aircraft in the future. A former Ukrainian MiG-29 fighter has become only the second privately owned MiG-29 to fly, taking to the air over Washington State 6 years after it left Eastern Europe. Capable of speeds of Mach 2.2 at altitudes of nearly 60,000 feet, the Mikoyan Gurevich MiG-29 Fulcrum is a far cry from the 1927 through 57 vintage airplanes that Historic Flight Foundation specializes in restoring. However, the opportunity to work on something so different was an irresistible lure to John Sessions, the founder of Historic Flight, who wanted to verify that a complex, high-performance aircraft could be restored by following the same rules and guidelines as a vintage airplane. The resulting aircraft is one of the most pristine examples of its type anywhere in the world. The Historic Flight Foundation plans to undertake the restoration of two more MiG-29s in the future. Read the complete story of this plane's restoration, including how half of it almost never made it to the States, and where you might see it fly, in the text version of this story, dated January 24th, at aero-news.net. A non-binding memo of understanding has been signed between Ericsson Aircrane and Wanyu Industries Group Limited, also known as Taikang, for the purchase of 5 S-64F aircranes, which will be manufactured at Ericsson's facility in Central Point, Oregon. The memo also agrees to cooperation with and support of Taikang in developing the capabilities and facilities required for the manufacture, marketing, and support of the aircrane in China, along with support in obtaining a Chinese airworthiness certificate for the aircranes that are operated in China. The obligations of each party under the agreement are conditioned on the payment by Taikang of a non-refundable deposit on or before next Monday. The 5 aircraft are to be delivered over a 2-year period, beginning with the delivery of the first aircrane February 28th. And finally today, GE Aviation and Aviation Industry Corporation of China say they have now signed an agreement to form a joint venture, subject to government approvals and the issuance of an operating license. The name of the joint venture will be GE AVIC Civil Avionics Systems Company Limited. The chairman and general manager will be nominated by AVIC and GE respectively, with final approval from its board of directors. Headquarters will be in Shanghai for the time being. The new company will develop and market integrated open architecture avionics systems to the global commercial aerospace industry for new aircraft platforms. This system will be the central information system and backbone of the airplane's networks and electronics, and will host avionics, maintenance, and utility functions. Chinese airlines now operate more than 2,500 jet engines produced by GE and CFM International, in which GE is a partner, with an additional 1,000 engine order book. GE is also powering China's new ARJ-21 regional aircraft, and CFMI was selected to power the new Chinese C919. You know, there are acronyms and abbreviations that are used so commonly in aviation and aerospace that we don't bother to explain what they mean when they come up in a news story anymore. FAA and NASA are two examples. I think it's time to add another one. AVIC is short for Aviation Industry Corporation of China. Remember that, because with so many acquisitions and joint partnership deals being closed by the Chinese already in 2011, we won't need to spell it out anymore. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell wondered the same thing a number of people did. Now that Piper has ended the Piper Sport program, why was the company at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo? Hear Jim's interview from Sebring with Jackie Carlin, Director of Marketing. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.